You just heard music by a group called Ritmos Unidos and the tune Ya Llego Bebo, a reference to the well-known Cuban composer and bandleader Bebo Valdez. I know that name better for his son Chucho Valdez, the wonderful jazz pianist. And then Chuchito has been in our area a couple of times, son of Chucho, but I'm already digressing. The Ritmos Unidos are going to be performing at the Doudna Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. And they're also doing a Latin music masterclass tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 3:30, also on the campus. Michael Spiro is their leader and percussionist, and, one percussionist. And he is on the phone with me right now. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
It is my pleasure and my honor. Thanks for having me.
Did I correctly identify you as the leader of the band, first of all?
Yes, I'm for better or for worse, I think that that would be a fair statement. I am the leader of the band.
So therefore, you are the guy to say how it came together and how long you've been around.
Yeah, I am that guy. We've been together for 2 years, and we are from Bloomington, Indiana, and it took a while for me to find. I started teaching in Indiana University 6 years ago, and it took me some time to find the players that I felt that I could play and write and arrange with. There are, of course, great, great musicians at Indiana University, but they are primarily either orchestral players or straight-ahead jazz players, and the music that I play and work within is Latin jazz, and so it took me some time before I could find the cast of characters that I could try to pull together and create this group with.
And it's quite a cast of characters, mix of people who are mostly working in jazz, some straight-ahead jazz, definitely heavy on the Latin jazz players. And
yeah.
Some of them at Indiana University where you are, some of them from relatively nearby. What was your, and also the mix of styles is indicated by the name of the CD from which this music we're going to play comes from, Funk Lorico. Why don't you talk about the idea of mix as represented by your group?
Well, I think the thing is that Latin bands, particularly if they are a dance band, are going to play one style of Latin music, whether it's Cuban or Brazilian or Venezuelan or Colombian or Puerto Rican. If you're a salsa band, then you play salsa. We, however, think of ourselves as rooted very strongly in Afro-Cuban and Afro-Brazilian folkloric music, meaning really African-based percussion music. But because we're all jazz players, that means that we're able to bring that sensibility and that kind of harmonic influence into the rhythmic roots of music here in the Americas. And so we kind of take pride in the fact that in one song you might hear a completely bata-based from Cuba section that all of a sudden the next thing you know you're playing soca or calypso or a samba. And so that's something that we really enjoy and we think keeps the audience interested. I don't think that you'll get bored listening to our band because we flow in and out of a lot of different styles, and if I may be a little bit presumptuous, but lots of groups flow in and out of different styles, but maybe not with the degree of depth and care that we have taken to do our homework and to play those styles, quote-unquote, authentically. So it's not really a world mishmash band, but rather paying very close attention to the stylistic integrity of the forms from which we draw.
I wanted to play a sample of a piece that raises some questions for me about at least influence of this piece. What I wrote down about the Obatala suite is rather mysterious, very atmospheric. I mean, the sort of, I immediately somehow imagined myself, rightly or wrongly, you know, back in the age of the Mayans in one of the jungles that now has overgrown their pyramids or something like that. What's this about, and what does the name come from?
Okay. Obatala is the Yoruba deity of knowledge and justice and purity. The Yoruba are from southwestern Nigeria. Fela Kuti, for example, is Yoruba. When the Africans were brought to the New World, and particularly to the island of Cuba, Obatala is considered one of the major deities within the Lukumi faith, or one of the Afro-Cuban faiths that much of the music of Cuba comes out of. Many of the songs that we sing in that piece are very traditional folkloric songs that pay homage to Obatala. And then even at the end of the piece, where we're playing a style of music that comes from Cuba today, straight up dance music called timba, we're still using those songs as the sort of the format through which we're then still playing very contemporary Cuban dance music. And so the whole suite, if you will, you may have noticed that we actually quote Afro Blue in there, and Mongo Santa Maria's Afro Blue is actually based on one of the songs to Obatala that nobody actually really has pointed out, at least in any of the literature that I've read. And then in turn, we quote Coltrane's Love Supreme, which is also kind of part of some of the melodic structure of that, is also found in those songs. So it's actually kind of John Coltrane meets Mongo Santa Maria, meets Africa, meets the United States, all in one song, if I may be so presumptuous.
Mm-hmm.
That is some of the Obatala Suite by Ritmos Unidos. My guest is the leader and one of the percussionists of the group, Michael Spiro. They're going to be playing in Charleston tomorrow night and giving a Latin music masterclass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, also on at the Dowd Fine Arts Center. And you can get more information on that by going to the Doudna's website. Just Google that. It's spelled Doudna. Tell me a little bit about your background that brought you to this music. You've worked with some straight-ahead jazz folks. You've worked with Latin jazz people. How did you end up? If we can assume that this group is a certain sort of culmination of what you've done so far, lead us up to
it. Sure. I grew up listening and loving R&B and James Brown and Motown. That was actually my musical background. But instead of learning to play the drum set, I started learning to play the conga drum. And so it was the instrument, the conga drum, really, that led me to Cuban music, because that's where the instrument comes from. And so even though, you know, I didn't know anything about Cuban music when I first started, I just wanted to be Aretha Franklin's conga drummer. Over time, if you're really going to study the instrument, you have to study Cuban music. And so one thing led to another. And then, even though, of course, I've played all kinds of music to make my living and also because I enjoyed it, but over time, I would say that just one thing led to another, and I sort of became a Cuban music player as far as my love and my real interests.
Tell me a little bit about this music we're going to end with. It is another suite, if you will, and begins with steel drums, which is Caribbean instrument, at least one that I associate with the Caribbean. It's called Perdón.
As well you should.
Philly Mambo Suite, which sounds like a mishmash right there.
Yeah. Almost everything we do is a mishmash. One of the players in our band, Joe Galvin, is a phenomenal steel pan player. The steel pan comes from Trinidad. And, of course, Calypso and Soca are the mainstays of the music of that island. And I always wanted to have a band where the pan was represented in the band, but not just playing Trinidadian music, but actually integrated into the band as a melodic component, the way you would have a saxophone or a trumpet or anything else. Of course, the original Caribbean Jazz Project with Andy Norell, Paquito de Rivera, and Dave Samuels was probably one of the first bands where you could hear the pan used that way. And Philly Mambo is a tune by the great Tito Puente. It's kind of a standard in Latin jazz. But we kind of just rework it, rearrange it, restructure it in a way that features both a Cuban rumba in the front with the pan, with vocals and the pan, and then we go into the tune itself, but slightly rearranged our way. And so it's kind of a classic way that Ritmos Unidos can take fairly classic repertoire and then really rearrange it and hopefully make it sound very fresh and different, so that someone would go, gee, that sounds like Philly Mambo, but haven't heard it that way before.
Well, here is a sample of that piece. It's a further sample of music of Ritmos Unidos, who will be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston for a Latin music masterclass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock and then for a concert performance at 7:30. My guest here on Live and Local has been one of its percussionists and the band leader, Michael Spiro. And I appreciate you joining us on the show. Thanks very much.
Thank you so very much. I very much appreciate it. Hope to see people out tomorrow night. Thank you.
Vida de mi vida.
That's music by the Bloomington, Indiana, based band called Ritmos Unidos, who are going to be playing at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston, a concert tomorrow night at 7:30. And that particular tune, if I brought the right piece of paper in with me, was called, well, the part of it we heard anyway, Perdón, Philly Mambo Suite. And that's off of their CD called, and they only have one CD so far, Funklorico. For more information, go to ritmosunidos.com, I think is the address, RITMOSUNIDOS. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. And I stumbled on Bloomington, Indiana, trying to say Bloomington, Illinois, I think in part because my next guest is based in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, and he's singer-songwriter Dan Hubbard. You might, if you know his name, you might know him better with his band called The Humidors, or maybe you know him in all of his intimacy, which is what he's brought with us with him today. He has just released a new CD called Living in the Heartland, an acoustic solo record. And he's got two CD release shows this weekend. One of them is on Friday at Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign. That starts at 6 o'clock, runs to about 8. And then in Springfield on Saturday, he'll be at Donnie's Homespun with the full band, Dan and the Humidor. So I guess we can still call that a CD release show, right?
Absolutely.
Fair enough. And is that the one where you're opening for another
Hot Buttered Rum. They're pretty well-known national act, so we're it's kind of co-headlining, so we still get a full 90-minute set, but we're playing before them.
Yeah, I was going to for an opener, an hour and a half is that's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, you got a local following. In other words, well, first, welcome back to the show. You were on I don't know when.
Almost exactly 2 years ago.
Has it been 2 years?
Yeah.
So does that mean this is about the time you're in the habit of releasing CDs?
Yeah, I guess it is. It's every 2 years, if not even less than that, you know, every year and a half to 2 years probably. Yeah.
All your CDs except this latest one, self-released.
That's right.
How did you graduate from self-released to a company called Dead Letter Records?
Well, I just felt like it was time to reach out and take a step forward. I tried to take a step forward with my career, obviously, every record, and do something different. And so I just mailed out my press kit to and the album to like 30 different record labels, big and small, and this was the one that responded. So
is this a big one or a small one?
This is a small one, an independent label, but they're not like taking any of my songs or anything like that. It's a very mutual partnership, so they're just all about supporting the musician, and I feel like it's going to be a great partnership, and I've already seen so many good things happen just from being with them, so I'm pretty excited about where we're headed.
For those, including myself, who don't really know that much about the process of getting yourself recorded and released, when you say they're not taking any of your songs, what does that mean?
That means, like, a lot of times, like in the past, when I've had interest from labels, they would send me a contract that basically said that they're going to own my songs forever, you know, and be able to make money off of them forever. So they're no longer mine. That's what they get for recording and distributing and promoting everything.
They own the song, or they own that performance of the song?
They own the song. Yeah.
That seems a little greedy to me.
It does. It does. And maybe it was just the labels I was dealing with, but I think it's a pretty, pretty standard thing that happens in the business. So I was, I guess, smart enough. I had enough good advice not to do deals like that. And so for someone like this to come along who will help me without taking my life is pretty cool.
And when you said it's kind of a, I forget how you put it, a mutual exchange or something like that. So what does that mean?
Well, because basically, I mean, it's still on me. You know, I've always booked and promoted everything myself, and where my career goes depends on how much work I put into it. But there's someone who, when I have a problem or a dilemma or I need some help with something, that I can go to, and they'll drop everything to help me out, you know. So so it's not like they're taking over, but it's just kind of someone to have in your corner that's been in the music industry for about as long as I have, about 10 years, that can help out. So
you're largely marketing yourself.
Yep.
So these CD release shows are pretty important.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've already had 5 CD release shows. We've been doing them all over the Midwest. So we did my hometown, Bloomington, Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Quad Cities, and now a couple more local places, Champaign and Springfield.
So. Have you gone to places so far where you pretty much have a following?
Yeah, that's the idea. We've been building up these markets. You know, I've been every 6 weeks been going to play in these cities for the last couple years. Because I kind of decided this a couple years ago that was what I was going to do. I was going to just take what I did in my hometown and take it to other cities, you know, and build them up one fan at a time, you know. So it's been cool with these CD release shows to kind of see where we're at in that process, because it's a good way to find out how many people you can get out, because it's a CD release and it's exciting for people to get some new material. So it's been really cool to see that happen and to see what kind of progress we've made, and they've all been really successful shows for us so far. And that's kind of why I'm really excited about the show Friday, because Champaign was really the first place where I saw that that could happen. You know, I've been coming here for 5 years now, just over and over again every few weeks, and the places around here have been kind enough to keep having me back to build a following, and you know, I saw that it was possible. And so with this town first, so I'm really excited about the show Friday to see people come out that have been there from the beginning, you know.
I hope you'll have a good turnout, and yeah, that it all supports that.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a sample of what you brought along. It's just you and your guitar. Yes. on the CD, and of course
on
right
the
here.
CD, I just sat down in the booth and played and sang, and we kept the best take, you know, and then I brought in other musicians to play around what I had recorded, but it's just me. So this is a track called I'm Your Man that I wrote for my wife, because she just, you know, I wouldn't be able to do this without her, and we have three kids, and she has her own business as well, and I'm gone a lot of the time, so she's just an amazing woman that I feel really lucky to be with, so I have to write her a song every once in a while. Sorry for the times when I treat you like you are a spy. Sometimes I just can't believe that you really want to be this close to me. Because I don't have cars, don't have money, I'm not too smart, I'm not that funny. I don't have goals, ain't got no plan. And I'm your man. Drinking in the afternoon. Do you really have to leave so soon? You are the most beautiful thing anyone here has ever seen. And if you don't care about money, just want someone to hold you, honey, and love you like no one else can, I'm your man. Guess you've really done it now. Sit up and ask me how. Thunderstorm in the middle of the night. Open up the windows and let it inside. 'Cause I don't care about money. I've got more to give you, honey. Can I be in your band? I'm your man. I'm your man. Mm-hmm. I'm your
man. Dan Hubbard, live on Live and Local, right here in our studio on the campus of the University of Illinois. Our program today is made possible by the Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. That comes off of his new release called Living in the Heartland. Now, excuse me. We're calling this a solo effort, but you said you do have some musicians who join you for all or some of it?
Just some of it. Whenever I felt the song needed something, like the guy who recorded it, Eric Nelson, is also a fantastic piano player. So he played piano when it was needed. I brought in a female vocalist that I've just been friends with for years, Natalie Bratcher, and she doesn't really sing professionally, but just has an amazing voice. I brought in a fiddle player, Nathan Taylor, and my band played on the record whenever I felt, they never played on it together, you know, but whenever I felt it needed a bass or a drum or whatever. And also I brought in the University High School. They provided me with a little string quartet, and that's where I went to high school, so that was pretty cool to bring them in, and we composed some music for them. And so it's a very organic record, but I wanted to, it's called Living in the Heartland, I wanted to bring in all people from Illinois to record on the record. So
when you say organic, meaning?
Meaning in the past I've done, you know, like, say, you put piano on a record and you just put electric piano, you know, you don't, we actually went to a music store and made sure we recorded real grand piano on the record. And you can, you know, the string settings on a keyboard that I've used in the past, we, like I said, we brought in the string quartet, you know, so I wanted it to sound natural, I guess.
So organic in that sense.
Yeah.
I was thinking... Yeah. Organic in the other sense where everything's, something grows out of something else, which grows out of something else, and so
right,
on.
Right, no.
How did, well, I mean, on that topic, though, is this essentially a collection of songs that you decided it was time to put out there, or are there connections of some kind from song to song?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to do an acoustic record. A lot was going on when I kind of decided this. The band was kind of struggling. I was losing my bass player and guitar player of almost 10 years. And my son was being born. And I was about to turn 30, kind of reflecting on 10 years of playing music. And so all these things kind of came together. One, with a baby in the house, I couldn't play, couldn't like write rock songs. I was just kind of tickling my strings and doing my finger picking, and songs came out of that. But I kind of wanted to let people into my home life, and so I felt it was necessary to kind of strip everything away and just be me and a guitar and let the songs kind of speak for themselves instead of playing rock music, you know.
I guess I never really thought much about what a rock musician does when he's got a baby in the house. I wonder how many people that actually changes what you produce.
Yeah, I mean,
have you talked to, I mean, is there a little, it seems like there's groups, organizations for everything. Is there an organization for rock musicians with babies?
No, because there's not a lot of it, especially in the Midwest, you know. So most of the professional musicians I know, or singer-songwriters I know, don't have any kids, so I don't know.
Just wondered if there were people you could consult, and, you know, I've got this kid around, but I'm trying to produce some rock tunes.
Well, see, now I am trying to produce some rock tunes, and we have another baby in the house, and so I'm just kind of having to use my imagination, you know, without playing very loud. So I don't know. We'll see how that works out.
You don't have somebody else's garage you can...
No, we have a rehearsal spot, but I kind of write on my own mostly, you know. So we're talking about building a soundproof room in the basement or something. I don't know.
I was going to say, you got one of two solutions. You either stop making babies or right. stop writing rock songs.
Maybe both.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to wish that. I actually did want to ask if how you know when a song is going to be a solo song and when it's going to be a song for the band. And do some of them do double duty?
Yeah, some of them can go both ways. I guess those are the really good ones. But you don't really know until you bring it to the band, you know. But a lot of these songs, I did actually bring them to the band, and then they were really good. But I just kind of decided I just wanted it to be acoustic, and that's it. Even if it wasn't necessarily what was best for the song or if it was going to be the most popular thing. I just really wanted an acoustic sounding record that represented the way I feel about, you know, my family and this area in general. So
why don't we hear another example? And is this one that you've tried out on the band or that has just...
This is, and this is actually... a tune that the band plays on a little bit on the record. So this is, it's called Maybe Someday and kind of inspired by, there's this feeling to me in the Midwest of looking at the East and West Coast and you see these really famous people and it just seems so far away. And I think it's also inspired by, you know, social media, and I think it causes this jealousy and envy among people, like on Facebook when everyone's posting about how great their lives are and what they're doing with their lives. And I'm no better. I'm all over Facebook telling people what I'm doing, but it can cause feelings of envy and jealousy and feeling. And I sometimes when I see people taken off in their career, and I get a little jealous, like, oh, that should be me. I'm just as talented. But obviously, if you focus on that in your life, you won't be happy. And this is about realizing what's important and focusing on that, which I believe is family and friends and doing what you love in this life. It's called Maybe Someday.
There she goes with the guy that everybody knows. He's on fire. He's got a song on the radio. Why can't that be me? I've never done a thing. It's bringing me down. Going nowhere in this nowhere town. Maybe someday when I learn to dance, maybe someday when I learn to sing, maybe someday I'll get my chance. Maybe someday I'll be somebody. I have this dream. I'm rocking with Tom Petty to a sea of soul. And it doesn't mean everything, but it sure feels nice keeping hope alive, acting like a star. Who in the hell do you think you are? Maybe someday when I learn to dance, maybe someday when I learn to sing, maybe someday I'll get my chance. Maybe someday. Then I wake up in the morning and I see your face. I pull myself together and I know my place. Can't believe it that we share the same name. Hey, hey, hey. Guess I must be doing something right. Do, 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 do. do 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 do. Do 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 do. Have this prayer, please let me be there for the ones I love, the ones who aren't going anywhere despite all the mess. You are the best thing I'll ever do. I just wanna be someone to you. Maybe someday when I learn to dance, maybe someday when I learn to sing, maybe someday I'll get my chance. Maybe someday I'll be somebody. Maybe someday. Maybe someday I'll be somebody.
Maybe someday. Dan Hubbard here on Live and Local, off of his new CD called Living in the Heartland. You have a chance to get that CD yourself, I guess, if you want to go to one of the shows he's got upcoming, the next in his series of CD release shows, essentially. Friday at Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign from 6 to 8. That's a solo acoustic show. And then on Saturday at Donnie's Homespun in Springfield from 8:30 till about 10, Dan, with his band The Humidors, going to open up for a band that I just forgot the name
Hot
of.
Hot Buttered Rum.
Hot Buttered Rum.
Yeah.
But they have a full 90-minute show on Saturday in Springfield. And then they've got a bunch of, he's got a bunch of gigs coming up later on in our listening area. I'll just rattle some off, and if there's time, I'll mention them again later.
Yeah.
On Friday the 18th at Pub 13 in Pontiac, solo show.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday the 24th at the Black Rabbit in Peoria, also a solo show.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking into November, nobody's going to remember this probably, but they'll be back in Champaign.
Yeah.
At another radio station here in town, WEFT, their Weft Sessions, that happens every Monday night. That'll be Dan and the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, we'll leave it at that.
I think that's
enough for the moment. But you can find the full schedule, I think it's on your Facebook page, or is it also on the website?
I would go to the website, danhubbard.net. And you can get to everything else from there, but that's where we keep updated schedule.
Yeah. The first song you did, there was a line in there in which you made reference to no goals and no plan, and then this song, talking about a certain amount of jealousy about what other people maybe or maybe not more famous than you are doing, and I guess I kind of wondered what. What are your goals? Because surely you have them, either musically speaking, either for yourself or for the band. And then how do you measure success?
Oh man, yeah. I mean, I guess I wrote these songs a couple years ago when I wasn't quite as focused, but I was becoming that way. You know, I've over these 10 years of playing music, I've probably learned the business aspect and improved at that more than actually my performing aspect, because I used to think if you just started a band, if I just started a band, I'm going to make it, that's it. And then you realize as you go down the line that you actually have to work at every aspect of it to make it successful. So goals, we have short-term goals. Like I said, we've picked out like, I'd say 7 or 8 different markets, some of that I've listed. And our goal is to be able to sell 150 to 200 tickets in those areas. And if we do that, we feel like we'll secure a booking agent, a national booking agent, who will put us on the road, hopefully supporting some larger acts. But as far as long term, I'm not sure. I think we'd all, as a band, like to be able to obviously support our families and be able to do what we love. I mean, that's the goal ultimately. Yeah.
Don't your do your wives all have jobs? Just in the interim?
Yes, yes, they do.
I mean, and still will anyway, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, my, like I said, my wife owns a business also, so, yeah, I would love for her to only have to work when she has to, you know, that would be great.
She might be saying that
when
to
she,
you right
when she
now.
Wants to. You
yeah,
know,
she might be saying that to you right now.
Well.
I mean, I would think that just about anybody who is, let's say, at your performing level right now, by which I mean not a technical performing level, but where you and the band are right now, because mm-hmm. there's so many individuals and groups across the country who are trying to do what, succeeding to the level you're succeeding and trying to do the next step, where
right.
they need a supportive spouse to allow them to do that,
yes,
which may or may not ever turn into the success you hope for.
That's right. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I wish I had my wife here to talk about this. But yeah, I mean,
if it were a call-in show, we could have a call-in.
Let's
but
do
it's
it.
Not.
Yeah,
it's
mean,
not.
She could talk forever about it. But yeah, you don't know. You know, the thing with us is we're scared to make it and scared to not make it. You know, because she always says that. She said, I don't know if I'm more scared for you to not make it or to make it, because to make it means I'm going to be gone a lot more than I already am. And to not make it, just means I might be really depressed. You know? So I don't know. It's rough. But it takes a special person, I think, to support these kind of dreams and this kind of career. And it's like, you know, and you don't see it very often in Bloomington Normal, you know, especially when you have kids. Sometimes it can be like, well, okay, now it's time for you to settle down and get a real job. I think from the beginning, and we talked about it obviously from the beginning, but she also realized that this is something that I have to do to be happy in my life, period. So,
well, and just to make sure that nobody thinks that either of us is suggesting that it's, you know, a male-female thing. We had a woman on the show, Sarah McQuaid, wonderful singer-songwriter now living in England, for whom it's sort of the opposite, you know, where her husband and kids are in England, and she thought she wanted to get back to doing this, and he basically said, more or less, I'm paraphrasing now, based on a probably slightly failing memory, that you got to go do what you got to do.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah. And I put myself in her shoes all the time and think how that would be. And man, it'd be hard. It's rough. But I also feel like you don't marry someone if you're not willing to love each other, and sometimes that means obviously supporting their dreams, you know. So.
And in this case, I think, you know, you got to love music to a certain degree.
Yes.
We have time for another song.
Yes, let's do it. This is the last tune on the record, about so many things. Sometimes a song to me just becomes so many, about so many things. I was kind of a tune for my son, a conversation with my son when he's older and just experiencing some of the hardships in life. And also kind of reflecting on 10 years of playing. And it's called It's Always Something. Because when you have three kids, it's always something.
Almost 30 years and it's alright. I'm breaking even, I guess. Sing my words. words of wisdom and the bright lights, baby, but I need them more than the rest. 'Cause there's darkness waiting right around the corner, and I can't let it take my heart. I've been down and alone enough to know I need you, and some days just fall apart. 'Cause it's always something, but it used to be nothing. Downtown too late on a Sunday, I can't hide it anymore. Tears start flowing and they don't stop coming. I'm running for the door, and I drive somewhere I used to go when I was younger, and I call an old friend of mine. He says, hey, what's wrong? I say, man, I'm not happy. Could you spare a couple minutes of your time? 'Cause we all need someone when we feel like no one. Of mine, just another victim of time. Yeah, you blinked and you were past your prime. Follow your heart, or you better get in a flying by since you arrived. I can't catch my breath. Swear I'm gonna get you out of here alive, but I'm scared to death of the lies that will be put inside your head. And when the thoughtless, careless, hurtful things are said in places where you feel like you don't belong, and everything you ever thought you knew was wrong, in times when you don't even know where to start, and I can tell that girl is gonna break your heart. And when you're miles away, lost and alone, and I can tell you, you will never be alone, because I'll always believe in you. I want to see you smile. I'll always believe in you and see hope in your eyes. I'll always believe in you. You're gonna be alright. I'll always believe in see you on the other side. Yeah, I got faith in you. Yeah, I got faith in you. Yeah, I got faith in you. Yeah, I got faith in we all need someone when we feel like no one. Yeah, we all need someone when we feel like no one.